We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Alan Soslowski, sitting in for Jeff Erickson midweek. I'm sitting here with John Alicia, a.k.a. Statsational, from the Sharp app. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes. I just want to let everybody know that this podcast, as always, is sponsored by WinBet. John, what's up, my friend? It's been a long time since we last spoke.
I know. It's been a while, but it's good seeing you, man. It's like I told you, we're getting the old game back together.
Yeah, I know John, who, again, is a professional sports gambler, a ranked DFS player for a long time. We used to do some work together, some podcasting. And when I was taking over to host the show today, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to give you a buzz and give you a call because, you know, we do a lot of fantasy football talk on, you know, during the season here, but we don't do enough sports betting talk, in my opinion. So just before we start, just give everyone your brief background, how long you've been in, you know, and what exactly you're up to.
Yeah, so quick, I've got a Wall Street background. I was trading foreign currencies for years. Been on Wall Street for like 25 years. I've always been into sports betting, sort of the campus bookie back in the, you know, back in the college days. And even before that, of course, playing parlay tickets with my dad in Brooklyn. And I was always trying to solve the puzzle. I think it's more of a puzzle solving thing, which is what, you know, fantasy is as well. It's a problem solving puzzle game. And I started building models and had a successful one in the NFL, and it got popular, grew from there. And next thing you know, I'm working with the Sharp app I kind of laid low for years, didn't throw my name out there, but now, you know, with the stigma gone from sports betting and all that, I'm out there. My face is out there now, and people know who I am. So, I left Wall Street maybe almost 3 years ago this year. This is my full-time gig. I play daily fantasy sports and sports betting. So,
you know, people hear, you know, sports gambling and they just think like, I'm not so sure what they think. It's a very interesting picture to be doing it like for a profession. What does it take mentally to become a professional sports gambler? I mean, are there so many highs and lows? I mean, what is that like to make that full switch, knowing that every game, every bet you make really does have a life impact? Or is that not what it is?
I say it's the hardest way to make an easy living. That's the way I always put it, right? So it's everyone views it as easy because they look at their own sports handicapping as, you know, I always bring it up to the old days when we used to open up the paper on Sunday morning and look at the spreads. And that was like the first time we looked at them and we made our picks. And people sort of do that now, right? They just go on there. They're like, you know, I kind of like this game, or they don't bet the Sunday night game until 10 minutes before the Sunday night game happens. So yeah, when you're handicapping in that way, it's easy. But I think to touch on your point, it's the psychology of it. And I think that's my strongest suit. And I'm not going to say it was easy. I've actually gone to therapists for this because I'm not afraid to say it, because it is very, very difficult to keep your emotions in check. Getting too high or too low when you're doing any type of risk taking when it comes to financial risk taking is really where you're going to get yourself in trouble, because those are the emotions that trigger you to start chasing the market. And I think part of my background in trading has helped in that aspect. I've seen people trading go into the same and have the same pitfalls as people do when they're gambling. And, you know, I've had my history. I think anyone who's gambled before has gotten themselves in trouble. Luckily mine was when I was really young and it really wasn't for that much money, but it's, you know, it's all relative to where you're at in life at that time. But hopefully when you get yourself in that situation, you learn from it and move on. And what I'm hoping to do now in my later years here is just kind of help people avoid a lot of the pitfalls that maybe I have and others early on in their career. But I think having proper bankroll management, using proper unit sizing really, really helps with the psychology. So if I go on if I have an awful weekend in sports betting, it doesn't change my life. And that's because of the amount I'm risking relative to my bankroll. And really I view it as money that is not mine. And when you get yourself in that mindset, it's not easy to do. You will not lose sleep over bad days, and you're not going to get yourself crazy emotionally high on the good ones.
Have you become desensitized to the fluctuations?
I have. Yeah, I have. So, like I said, it's probably my strongest suit. I have people that I work with who don't understand how I could do it. But you need to. I read years and years ago, I was reading or listening to a psychologist, and she was comparing, they had done a study. Basically, the greatest traders in the world are sociopaths in the sense that they don't have the ability to, like, the actual money doesn't affect them. So they have no emotion towards the fluctuation in the money. Now, I don't believe I'm a sociopath, but I take a lot of those things. Like, I'll take things, you know, when you watch a biography on someone who's been extremely successful or read a book, it's not necessarily, always want to necessarily do what they did, because there's millions of people who fail doing the same thing. They, you know, dropping out of high school per se. You're like, well, man, dropping out of high school must be the way to go. I can be Bill Gates, right? Or not dropping out of high school, not going to college, right?
Not going to college, right.
Right. Or, you know, whatever it is. But think of all the millions of people maybe who followed similar paths and didn't do it. But I try to get myself in the mindset of a successful person. A lot of successful people have had failure in their life, major, major failure. As a matter of fact, more than 50% of those self-made millionaires had reached some sort of a rock bottom before they got themselves and they elevated themselves up. So I don't want to put myself in a rock bottom situation, but I try to understand what's the mentality of someone who was in that situation, and then try to put yourself in there without having to have the tragedy in your life. So that's sort of how I look at it. And the same thing with the being a sociopath. I don't want to be a sociopath, but I say, well, how can I eliminate, what's the easiest way for me to eliminate that emotion? And to do that, you have to really take your bankroll seriously, and it needs to be put on the side. It can't be money that you're touching on a daily basis. You're not paying your rent, your mortgage. You're not putting food on the table with that money. That's money where if it disappeared tomorrow, you wouldn't even know it was gone. And then you'll sleep better. You know, when it's, I'm behind on my mortgage payments because I lost with the Bucks on Sunday night. Well, you know, that's a problem. And that's when you have to view it as a problem. But that's why I really stress the importance of having bankroll management and proper unit sizing.
But let's do a little glossary 101 for some of the novice bettors. And I think this is even a good refresher for the sports bettors that may be a little bit more experienced. When you talk about bankroll, just give a basic definition. And then how do you decide what your bankroll is? Like, is there a way to do it?
There is.
What about the definition?
Yeah, with the bankroll, I have a whole course actually called the Sharpe Academy. And
Where can you find the course?
It's we have an app called the Sharpe app. You can just download it for free in the App Store, and you can go in there. There's a whole academy. It's like a masterclass on sports betting. And there's a video, of course, on bankroll management. Now your bankroll itself, that's going to be, you know, that's very much subjective to you. But like I said, that needs to be money that you're putting away before the season or before the year, however you, whatever the time frame you want to designate to that. I would suggest at least, let's say if you're going to be an NFL college football type of better, this is what I'm willing to lose for the year. Maybe it's $1,000. And you say, okay, if I lost $1,000, it's not going to change my life. Or maybe it's five, whatever it is to you. And then you should be risking somewhere around 1% to 2% of that bankroll on a bet. So that's your unit size, is usually about 1% to 2%. Now, if your bankroll is $100, maybe you want to up that to 5%. But the reason we do that is because, assuming, let's say, NFL, college football, we're playing a lot of spread bets, those are about 50-50 type of propositions. In order for you, at 1% to 2% of your bankroll per play, in order for you to lose your entire bankroll, you're going to have to lose 50 to 100 bets in a row. And that's pretty much impossible to do, right? So if you put $1,000 aside and you stick to a strict 1% to 2%, you may not be a winner by the end of the year, but you're still going to have some cash left in that bank. And that's what we really want. That's going to help you psychologically. Plus, especially if you're new to sports betting, now there is something to paper trading, or as we call it on when we were traders, as you know, making bets that aren't real bets just to see how you're doing, maybe trying out a system. But at some point, when you actually have some risk on the line,
that's what I want to ask you.
Change how you bet.
Right, exactly. I was going to say is that I've been given funny money before, play money to make bets, and I'm making these outrageous bets and I'm winning. And then the minute I'm betting, you know, small unit sizes, $20, $50, I'm like, whoa, I just lost four of the last five bets. It does change your mentality. What do you think that's all about? That like betting with real stake in the game versus, you know, just like this play money thing. Explain that phenomenon.
So we've evolved. This is a biological, like evolutionary biology, really is what it is. Because think about the history of human beings. It's only been in recent times where we've been able to have some sort of an excess. The average person, at least in the Western, in the Western world. But for the most part, you were fighting, like your day was getting up and trying to figure out where I was going to get some food. Like I was a hunter, gatherer, you know, whatever it was. And once you gathered that, once you had some food and some resources, losing it was extremely painful, right? So we hear that all the time. Like the losses, a lot of people you may know, and you might be one of those people, like losing $100 hurts you way more than winning that $100 does. You hear it with NFL coaches in all sports. They're like, well, why did you retire? And they're like, I just couldn't take the losses. Like the losses kept me up at night more than I was happy about the wins. So we have this we're very much risk of we're not willing to lose, right? So it's also I've talked to you about this before. The book called Scorecasting, which is a phenomenal book, I would suggest reading it. They go into detail in different sports on when athletes view themselves in a losing situation, they perform better because they've already lost. So the golfer who putts a 10-foot putt for par makes it far more often than they do a 10-foot putt for birdie, because when they're in that 10-foot putt for par situation, they are going to be more aggressive because they feel like they've lost. 10-foot for par for a pro is a losing situation. 10-foot for birdie, they've got themselves right where they wanted to be, and they don't want to lose that par.
Yeah, it's like in fantasy football, the worst thing you want to be is 11 or 12 and 0 heading into the fantasy playoffs, or 13 and 0. And even the 2017 Patriots, right? They were going for an undefeated season, but had they had one loss, maybe the pressures would have been different. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I really like that. I don't know if you were done there, but I have another definition I want to ask you first. And it's, you often hear in football betting, because we are in prime football season right now, reverse line movement. And I want to talk about that a little bit first, but I just want to, before that, I just want to give a quick word from WynnBET, one of our sponsors right here. Is there one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire? It's making good decisions. And even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you from RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET. The premier digital casino and sports book app, WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor of RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. WynnBET brings you all of the latest action with user-friendly interface, money line bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin at roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, and try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in six states while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, The possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner of RotoWire Fantasy Podcast. Whew, that was a mouthful, John. All right. So actually, they said a couple things in this ad that I want to ask you about. I know I asked you about reverse line movement. We'll get to that. Let's start with that because I see that a lot. And they always say that's a sharp play. And, you know, I consider myself a somewhat of an experienced bettor. I mean, I'm not a pro, but when I hear reverse line movement, just tell me as if I knew nothing. What does that mean and what can I take away from it?
Very, very simply, the money is coming in on one side of the game, yet the line is moving the opposite way. It tends to be a signal that there was probably sharper money coming in on the side where not all of the money's coming in.
Who knows that the money's sharp? Is it the book? Say, oh, okay, this is an experienced bettor. I know to move the line the other way. Like, how does the book know which money's sharp and which isn't?
Yeah, that was always the thing, and that was a lot of sharp guys would try. There was the cat and mouse game that was played between the sharp guys and the sports books. Is the book now, and it's a lot easier for the sports books to know their clients now because everything is digital, right? So you're online. So you know which accounts are sharp because they can see this account wins quite often. They play, you know, I can almost look, I could watch someone bet for a couple of weeks and get a feel for if they're sharp by the type of games that they play. You know, the side of the games in the NFL, let's say, I can usually tell if someone has a good understanding of what.
So give me an indication. What's one key indicator that you could tell if someone's a quote sharper square better?
There's usually some games every week that either most square betters are going to jump on. It looks so good. The game looks so good.
Like Tampa Bay, New England.
Tampa Bay, yeah. Which was actually one of the, I had a really good weekend. My model had Tampa Bay though as a game, and I absolutely hated it because the entire world was on that game. We actually had one of my guys came out late with a huge play on New England, and I was like, I knew it. You know, I knew it when he said that. I'm like, I'm definitely on the wrong side. So I know. Listen, sharp guys are on occasion on the same side as the squares. It's not that they go against each other all the time. You have last night the Boston Red Sox Yankees game. Was almost all square money on the Yankees. There was a lot of sharp money coming
self-included. By the way,
you didn't call me before that one.
No. Well, you know what it was? It was like, hey, I was like, I don't follow baseball that closely, and I was like, as soon as I pushed the button, I was like, oh, I knew it.
You get a feel. So you see, our friend Kevin Allen is always. I do a podcast with him, and I always know which side he's going to be on. So that's like the. That's like the telltale sign. Washington last week. I'll give you an example. Another game. Washington Redskins won.
But you mean the Washington football team?
I'm sorry. The Washington football team.
You're so not woke.
I am not.
I think it should be Washington. I still do that. I still say San Diego Chargers. And occasionally I still say the Oakland Raiders. So you get one more year of flubbing it before, you know,
they're
going to
have a new name. When they have a new name, that'll probably help me out. But this lack of a name is killing me.
So you were talking about.
My dad still calls them the Baltimore Colts. So.
Oh, well, there you go. He's stuck in decades.
Yeah.
All right. So you were talking about the Washington football team and Atlanta game from last week.
Right. So that was a game where I didn't have either side of it, but it very much looked like a sucker game Washington. Now, and it won, right? Now it took a heroic end of game. You know, they came back, won that game on a great play late with McLaurin. But there are some games, like I said, the square money, we call it square money, sucker money, public money. They don't obviously do not lose all the time, and the sharp money doesn't always win all the time. But I like when there's a when we have sharp money going up against square money, that tends to be a stronger play. Now, when we talk about the reverse line movement, you get a game. Now, we didn't necessarily have reverse line movement on that Tampa game, but think about I'm sure you heard about all the money that was being bet on Tampa. Like nobody was betting
90%. Yeah, 90%.
That's that game stayed at 6.5. Which is a key number, right? Stayed underneath 7. I think it flashed 7. You could have gotten 7 if you were really paying attention in some places. But the fact that that game wasn't 7.5 was really troubling, and it was bothering me all week that I knew I was on the wrong side of that game. But it, you know, sometimes you have to take it. And but yes, that would be an indication. Now, if that game drop down to, let's say, 6 or 5.5, that would have been a what we call a reverse line move, because so much money is being bet on one side, yet the line is going in the opposite direction, meaning the book is not scared to take even more bets on the side that they've already taken a lot of action on.
Right. What you're saying is normally, traditionally, a book wants, you know, in an ideal world, 50% of the money on each side. They collect the VIG. There's no risk to them. And what you're saying is that they normally lay money off to get to that close to that 50%, but they were not scared about taking the one side. That's a clear indicator. I'm here with Statsational from the Sharp app, professional gambler, ranked DFS player. I'm Alan Sislowski sitting in for Jeff Erickson. It's time for another live read. Hey, John, you know what we never do on this show is we never have the guest read one of the live reads. It's always the host, but let's try something a little different while Jeff's away. I don't know if he'll get mad at me for having, you know, putting you to work, but I sent you the lead. There's a good one here. Yahoo is one of our sponsors. Why don't you give that one? Let's see who does the read better. I'm guessing it's going to be you, but go ahead.
I'm barely literate, so we'll give it a shot, man. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prizes contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sportsyahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started.
So I have a question for you. So, and by the way, bravo. That was a good read. That one's not easy. I read that beforehand. It's a little choppy, that one, but you did it well. That's why I gave that one to you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So you could be honest here. Do you ever play Yahoo DFS? You're a FanDuel ranked DraftKings ranked player. Do you ever go over there and play at Yahoo?
Yeah, I play the other ones more. But now that I'm seeing, and here's the thing for most of the guys who play at the higher levels, is the games have to be worth it. And I'm not a cash player, so I'm a GPP player, but. Seeing this, you know, seeing that they're now offering $100,000 up top, I actually probably have to start adding them into the mix, because
right, and
I
it said
it's play 50,000 and up tournaments.
Right, it said it's shark free too, so you might be the first shark in the pool. If you could eat up some of the guppies, maybe there is an edge there. That's why it was interesting. And we just got one more sponsor to cover right here, then we could finish out with our content, and that is Thrive Fantasy. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week in the NFL. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus only on top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up and get a free 6 months of RotoWire, our premium subscription. Here's how you do it. Visit rotowire.com/thrive, deposit $10 and receive 100% bonus up to $100. Play your first paid contest and receive a free 6 months of RotoWire. Thrive Fantasy is one of the prop sites. Have you noticed, by the way, an increase in the popularity of prop betting over the last 2-3 years?
I think prop betting is probably the future of sports betting. And the reason being is it's odd. Guys my age, I'm in my late 40s now. We started with sports betting, and then fantasy sort of became a thing. I think pretty much everyone, let's say 35 and under these days, really started with fantasy, and now are just starting to become aware of sports betting. So prop betting really lends itself well to those of you who have a daily fantasy or a season-long fantasy background, because now we're looking at the players and we're not really looking at team so much, even though there are team props. But the player props are really what people have a lot of fun with. And I think they're also beatable.
Yeah, no, prop betting is interesting to me. And there's a lot of great sites like Thrive popping up. And what do you think the edge is in prop betting? I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, betting NFL games. Those are probably the most gambled markets in the world. As our good friend Chris Liss always tells us, is that, you know, there's almost no edge. It's all the value is squeezed out by Sunday. And you just mentioned that earlier. So what is the edge in prop betting?
So you mentioned liquidity. You want as an illiquid market as possible, because those tend to be the markets where you could pick off some bad pricing. I made a killing playing really low level college basketball conference type of game. You know, the Tuesday night game in the Horizon Conference that nobody's betting, things like that, because you're going, the sports books can only, you know, they just a background on how they work. You know, they put a line out. They generally don't let you bet, depending on the sport. You have a limit as to what you could bet. And then they sort of ease into larger limits once they feel comfortable. They've gotten themselves to some sort of an equilibrium in the market. So it's a little different than it used to be in the Wild Wild West days of Vegas. But with props, there are so many of them out there, and there's just not that much bet. You know, and they do limit you for the pro bettor. You know, I can't put $10,000, let's say, on one of these player props. But for the average bettor, if you're betting $25, $50, $100, even, you know, $500 sometimes on some of these props, you can get that money down. And if you're really sharp at projections and pricing, you can find some opportunities with props. What can I just say? Like, where people make the one thing that people don't focus on is the juice, right? So you really, really, really super important is the juice. Just because the number, you know, you see a guy over 35 and a half receiving yards on Sunday and people don't pay attention to that juice. Now, what happens, what juice is that number next to the 35 and a half yards. It might be minus 120 on the over, minus 130. That's what you're paying. If you're new to sports betting, that's how much you have to pay. If it's a minus number to win $100, if it says minus 130, you need to risk $130 to win 100. You'll get $230 back for a profit of $100. Right. I
mean, what you're saying is the side basically that's most likely to win, if there's an obvious take on it, is probably going to have less than favorable odds. You're going to have to pay a vig, so to speak, juice as you called it, just in order to take that side. Usually when something is even, the juice will be around minus 110.
Correct. Right. And that's what you see with most of your NFL games or NBA games. It's usually around a minus 110 juice on a spread because a lot of that is because they can move the spread quite easily, right? They don't want to move the yardage from 35 and a half to 37 and a half. They do, but usually they'll kind of keep it locked in at that 35 and a half number or whatever the number is. And then they'll move the juice on that number. It sort of becomes like playing the money line on a baseball game or a hockey game. So really understand what you're doing. That's, and by the way, that's a lesson I could have given you in the beginning of sports betting, but understand the bets before you make them. I see so many people make a bet. They don't know. Hey, they ask me, John, do I win this bet if there's a tie, or do I win this bet? Like, you know, they don't know all the rules. Understand the rules. If you're not understanding exactly your payouts and when you get paid and all that stuff, then you're not helping yourself any. Of course, when you do any office pools or survivor pools, understand what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But yes, the juice. And again, I hate to plug the Sharp Academy, but I've got videos in there.
I know you're not here for your health, John. You are here to plug the Sharp Academy. That's why, you know, we're grateful that you come on and talk to us. So, and I also think this is a service to sports bettors everywhere. I've seen the course. I've perused the course. I think it's a course worthwhile of our RotoWire Nation here checking out. So tell people, how do they go get it?
Yeah. So again, if you just download the Sharp app, it's free in the App Store, the Play Store, and we've got a whole bunch of content. And there's a whole tab, real easy to figure out. You go in there, you go into content. There's something called the Sharp Academy. You click on that. I've got a bunch of videos, more coming. But when we talk about this prop, I've got, if you are more advanced, if you're really good in Excel, I've got ways where you can calculate that juice and figure out based on your projections. Let's say you're a good fantasy player, or you trust someone's projections out there, RotoWire's projections on whatever the games are this weekend. You can use the RotoWire projections along with the spreadsheets that I have in the app, and you can then figure out what the juice should be. it's very hard. Like most people look at it and it's sort of like, you know, you put your finger up in the wind and you go, -130. That seems like a lot that you don't know. You're like, well, you know, RotoWire's got this at 40.5 and the market is 35.5 -150. Is that a good bet or is it not a good bet? You don't know. So if you go on in the Sharp Academy, I tell you, I teach you just how to figure that out. So it's not just, it's not just being good at the projections, which is a key factor, but then you have to understand how to convert those projections into something that looks exactly the same as what the sports books are offering.
So I titled this podcast, The Three Biggest Mistakes That Sports Bettors Make. And, you know, we've kind of hit on a few of them already, but something that I like doing as a sports bettor, I would call myself more than a casual, but certainly definitely not a sharp, an educated casual. I think that's a term I'm going to invent right now, but teaser bets are fun. Teaser bets, I get to play with points. I get to add, you know, in a two-team team. Basically, a teaser bet is when you pick multiple teams and both sides of those teams or those bets have to win, but I get additional points. In a two-team teaser and a football bet, traditionally, you get 6 points. I think it's what's around, how many in a three-team tease? 10?
Yeah, you could get 9 or 10 points.
Nine, yeah. Or 10, and then 12 or, you know, 12 in a four, in a 3+ or a 4+, right? But so is that a sucker's bet, or is there situations where actually a teaser increases your EV?
Yeah, this it's funny you bring up teasers, right? So there
they're
are
fun. They're fun.
They are fun to bet. There are a lot of I was just talking about this the other day. I can't remember who I was speaking to about this, but there's a really sharp guy that we have over in the app. And we were discussing.
But before we get into teasers, you know, because we're going to tease everybody, right? So here is a word from our sponsor.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. We're back. And we teased you before. We're talking, John. I'm here with John Alicia, aka Statsational. Definitely go follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow for sports betting advice, tips, and tricks. He doesn't give out plays. He's not a tout. He'll give out a free bet of the day here and there. But more or less, he teaches you how to become a better sports bettor. Okay, John, you were talking about teases. You were about to tell us a story.
Yes. We were just talking about it because I had. On YouTube, my own personal YouTube, which really there's not much on there, but I had done a video on teasers. There's something called a Wong teaser. And now this video started to blow up, which is funny. And I always laugh. In the last 2 years, it's just like people just start
Wong. It's final. Called a Wong. W-O-N-G.
Teaser. There's a professional sports bettor called Stanford Wong. It's his alias. And he developed these teaser bets. He found there was the word is eluding me, but basically you could blindly bet these teasers and win in the NFL years ago, the way that they would price the teasers. Now it's a little bit more difficult because of that thing we call juice. So they've sort of changed the juice on these games, but we could still use some of the principles that were used on these Wong teasers. Now, the teasers in the NFL, the only games I want you to tease, if you must, and I do this, right, on games I like, if the line is 7.5, 8, or 8.5 minus, you tease that down 6 points down to the 1.5 to 2.5.
So if you're like, okay, so a couple weeks ago, the Rams, if you're an 8-point favorite, if you're a 7.5-point favorite, you're giving those points. You want them to tease it back down to below a field goal.
That's correct. And the reason for that is I've got all the math on that video I did in the description, but it's somewhere in the high 30s% of the time games end somewhere between three, four, and seven are obviously your big numbers. 3 and 7, especially, are your big NFL football numbers where games end the majority of the time. And I believe games end somewhere between 3 and 7, somewhere close to 40% of the time. So moving off of, moving across the 7 and the 3, wound up being an advantage. You needed to win. Again, I don't have the numbers off the tip of my head, but it had to be somewhere in the low 70% of the time. And that's about what they win for you to be profitable. So you could almost blindly bet depending on the juice. And again, I'm not going to get into too much of the technicals, but if you do want to play teasers, that's where I would focus. Now where most people get it wrong is they tease any old game. So when you're teasing a team that's a 3-point favorite to a 3-point underdog,
right?
Brutal.
Teasing terrible. Through the zero the other way is bad news.
Terrible, right? You're not gaining the advantage. So again, I don't want to get too crazy technical, but every half a point in football is worth something different. So the half a point from 7.5 to 7 is not worth the same as the half point from 3.5 to 3. And it's certainly not worth what the half a point is from 2 to 1.5, right? Each one of those has a value. And you're paying, if you're paying that, if you're moving the game from 3 to 3, from -3 to +3, you are losing a ton of value on that play. So focus those. The other thing is teasing the totals. Teasing totals is extremely difficult to win because, think about it, you're still only getting 6 points, right? So if the majority, if you understand the bell curve, if you have a point spread, people say, oh, well, Vegas isn't always right. Or, now I guess it's not just Vegas, but the sports books aren't always right. Of course, they're not always right. But there's a bell curve. Like the games, if it's a 7-point spread, most of the games are going to come within a certain number of points of 7, right? If it's a 47-point total, that same is going to hold true, but the mean is going to be wider because, right, it's a bigger number. Think about it. I always try to make things extreme numbers, right? So if we had something that's going to happen, 1,000 points, I don't know, maybe cricket matches go to 1,000 or something like that, right? You would see that within 10% of 1,000 points is 900. That's 100 points off 1,000. Right. If I was 10% off a 50-point spread, that's 5 points already. If I'm 10% off a 7-point spread in NFL, that's less than a point. Can you see my point there? Where it's very easy to score for a 50-point total to land on 70 points much more frequently than a 7-point total game is going to a 7-point spread game is going to land on 30. So that's a long way of saying avoid playing the totals, especially basketball totals in teasers, and really stick to what I was saying. Now, you can move games also that works the other way. 1.5, 2, and 2.5, move those across the 3 and across the 7 and catch the 3 and the 7 going the other way. So if you're going to play teasers, that's what I would stick to.
Have you ever heard of a lightning bet before?
Yeah. Lightning bets I would avoid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lightning bet for those, I'm just going to explain it quickly to the audience. It's probably the most exciting bet. And as by John's reaction, I'm going to guess that it's the most frivolous and wild bet you can make. And it's not disciplined at all, but let's say you have the under over. Let's use basketball since that's probably the craziest one. And a typical basketball under over might be what, John? Like 212 is a good number?
Yeah, these days it's 210 to 230.
Okay, so let's say the under over in a basketball game is 210, and you take a lightning bet on the over. And let's say that lightning bet is a $5 lightning bet. Let's just $10 lightning bet, small bet. Every point that you go over the over, you win $10. And every point that comes under the total, you lose $10. So let's say let's up the stakes. Let's say you do a $100 lightning bet and the total goes 10 points over the 210. You win $1,000. But if it's a low scoring defensive battle, you're in trouble. Now, the optimal scenario is if you have, say, a $100 or a $50 lightning bet, and this game goes into double overtime. It's like a pinball machine. But, John, that could go very wrong, can't it?
It can go very wrong. You know, those were more – I don't believe
– Did I say it correctly, by the way? Is that basically – 100%
said it correctly. And I don't believe they do them any of the legal sports book now these days because – you don't know the I don't even think they're probably not even legal because you don't know what the outcome may possibly be. I think you have to have a set when you make the bet. You have to know exactly what your risk is,
right,
and what you could potentially win. That has to be laid out. But that was a big bet. And if you still have your local neighborhood bookie, that was a bet people love to make with the neighborhood guy because you were playing on credit. So the neighborhood guy, if you got in the hole for $1,000, you know, whatever, you just had to kind of pay it up. You know, with the legal sports books, you actually need that cash in the account. So it could go terribly wrong. There's a famous story from Artie Lang, which you probably had heard where
Artie Lang, formerly of the Howard Stern Show.
Yes. And he was, you know, a degenerate type of gambler. And he bet an over on an NBA. I believe it was an NBA Finals.
A lightning bet.
I'm sorry. Yeah. A lightning bet. He took the over. I believe it was the Bulls and Suns series, and it wound up being the lowest scoring game in the history of the finals at the time. And he took an absolute bath. I think he was, you know, whatever he bet. I think he bet, like, it was him and Norm MacDonald, the late Norm MacDonald, who I love. They both took the same bet. They were on it might have been the set of Dirty Work at the time, made that bet. And I think Norm lost like $40,000 or something like that.
Yeah. So RotoWire obviously does not endorse illegal betting, but we want you to go to a legal sports book and, you know, and entertainment only. By the way, you know, I've talked about this on other videos with Chris Liss. What is the exact percentage that you need to win your bets, you know, in order to be a break even better? Was it 52%? Is it 53? Like, what is that break even number?
Yeah. So, again, it depends on the juice. And when we were talking about NFL, college football, things like that, the spread sports are generally -110 juice. So if you're averaging -110 on the juice, you need to be at 52.4% correct in order to break even.
What was your NFL percentage last year? Did you have a good year in NFL? Or what was your best sport, I should ask you? That's a better way to frame it. What was your best full season sport? Was it college basketball? I remember reading on Twitter that you went on a little run yourself for a season.
Yeah, college basketball has historically been my best. Last year was a tricky. I'm chalking up last year, considering I actually had a down year in college basketball for the first time in maybe 12 years since I really started doing this seriously. And I'm going to chalk it up to the fact that the scheduling was so
erratic.
Yeah, it was back-to-back games and It was odd. So I'm going to, hopefully that's the case and we'll get back to it. And I'm starting to see that in college football as well. It was just a very odd year last year. So this year things seem to be falling back in line with where they were. Historically I played now with the system. I'm somewhere around 56% on the NFL. And if you tell the average person that, they're like, oh, well, you know.
Now, people are now a little bit more hip to 56 is profitable. A couple of years ago, they expected the pros to be right like 9 out of 10 times. But I think with more sports betting content like the Sharp app, like what RotoWire does, every week the RotoWire show has Rufus Peabody on and he talks about how difficult it is. So I give credit to the people putting out that content. that they know that 56 is profitable. I want to, while we're getting into the final sort of leg of the podcast today, I ask every sports gambling enthusiast, every sports bettor, what do you think the future is, the near future? Like, what does sports gambling look like? Is it in the next 5 years? Is it peer-to-peer? What do you think with all the technology coming out?
Yeah, it's funny you say peer-to-peer. That's actually my hope. My hope is that we move to that.
And explain that. Explain what peer-to-peer, just in very layman's term to the audience.
Sure. That's essentially where you're betting. I'm betting you digitally. Now, I may not know you're on the other side of that bet, but the sports book now just becomes a broker. It really becomes like a trading market where you're trading stocks. And you could go to, you know, your TD Ameritrade or Scottrade or what, you know, well, Scottrade's not around, but whoever, you know, Schwab, and just place your trade, and Schwab just takes a commission. And that's what happens here in peer-to-peer. There's companies over in Europe. It's very popular in Europe where they have the same thing, like the stock market, a bid and an ask price. And then you can either make a market yourself or just take whatever's offered to you. Now, again, without getting too technical, the problem is I've talked to one of the major sports books when they opened up at the Meadowlands. I was invited to the opening, and I had asked them, why don't they get into the peer-to-peer? This was, I don't know, 5-6 years, whenever they opened at the Meadowlands. And they said they didn't think the U.S. market would understand it well enough. But I think it's really short selling people. I think if you offer it, it's going to take a little bit of time. There's a learning curve, but I think that's the way to go.
So I have a question for you about that. I have a question. So let's say that, you know, the line on the Dallas Giants, what is the line on the Dallas Giants game this weekend, for example? I mean, if you, just off the top of your head, I'm not going to hold you to it.
No, I've got it. Okay. It's 7 pretty much across the board, right?
Okay. Now. So Dallas is giving 7. Let's say that I think the Giants are going to win that game. And I say, and I think they're really going to cry. I have like the total opposite view of the market. Can I put up my own line and someone take it? Can I say, hey, Giants +3 is the line I want to give to somebody, and then I give sort of better odds on it. Is that what peer-to-peer really is, that I could post my own line and my own odds and someone can take that bet, or is that not what it is?
Sort of. What it is actually you're going to change the juice. So you think the Giant, you like the Giants.
Now, love the Giants against Dallas.
You go to a sports book, you go on your phone, you go to the book, and you can take the Giants +7 at -110. But now in this peer-to-peer, the market may be, you may be able to take the Giants if you just take what's being offered. Someone out there likes Dallas. They're on the other side, and they're offering you the Giants at -105, let's say, +7.
Okay, so it's not that big swings. It's a smaller swing. But
it's going to be smaller, unless the market moves a lot, and then you might be getting +110 on the Giants. Because the 7 won't move as much. Now, with the NFL... because it's a tough
example, right?
Yeah, with the NFL, it's so popular, they do have alternate lines. Now, of course, you can go to your sports book and they offer alternate lines as well.
Right.
But those are juice lines. What happens in the peer-to-peer, the reason I like it so much is because, especially on a market like the NFL, it's so liquid that the spread. When I talk about spread, I'm not talking about the -7 number. I'm talking about the difference between what I'd have to pay on the -110 on the Giants side and -110 on the Cowboys side. That's a 20-cent spread, I call it. If you're doing peer-to-peer, we might be a 1 or 2 cent spread. That is a huge, huge difference.
Huge.
Over the course of the year, because like I said, you need to be 52.4% at -110. If I could get that down to -101 or -102, I pretty much have to just pick over 50% and I'm going to win money. So I really like that model the best.
I'm Alan Soslowski, sitting in here for Jeff Erickson. For those of you who stayed with us, I am just sitting in for him. Jeff will be back next week. So for your loyal Jeff fans, don't worry. He hasn't gone forever. I'm here with Statsational John Alesia from the Sharp app. John, tell us, give us all your plugs, like where they can find you on Twitter, what you're promoting today. Just give me the whole gamut.
Yeah, so I mean, my personal Twitter is at Statsational, but I tell you, you're going to see me a lot more on the Twitter handle at the Sharp app, right? And we've been giving out free plays. I do the free play of the day on there. So like I said, it's absolutely free. And I know, just go back and look at the free. It's actually, they've been crazy, unbelievably good. So,
and I'm interrupting you for a second because, you know, when I was doing this video, some sports gambling videos with Chris Liss at RotoWire, he was talking about like, free plays, good. Take those, you know, gamble at your own risk, but anyone selling picks, like that's what you see all these like pay touts, just be aware, because if they knew something that you didn't know, they would just keep those for themselves. There is still a lot of risk in buying picks.
There
that's
is
a little bit of a disclaimer.
If you head over there, like I said, you get those free picks, and there's a lot behind those picks, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of thought behind those picks. There's a lot of, and just go back. I don't have the record off the top of my head, but I mean, the last six in a row have been winning, and I've been playing for the most part money line underdogs in MLB. Now, unfortunately, MLB season is over for the regular season. We're not going to have as many of those juicy picks, but go check it out. Even if you're not,
it's worth looking at. I'm on there all the time, just flipping through and seeing if anything, you know, once I have my picks, I just kind of flip through and see where you guys are and kind of like a confirmation. So download the Sharp app. It's in the App Store. It's the Sharp app, or is it just Sharp app?
It's a Sharp app in the App Store. And it's the colors are like black and green. You'll know it's the only Sharp app that's sports betting related.
Yeah.
And you'll find it. And it's just, we're really pushing the educational aspect of sports betting. And our goal is really to turn people from square to sharp and make them, just avoid a lot of the pitfalls, like I said, that when I was 21, 22, 23, that I fell into. Hopefully you don't. So if you watch those Sharp Academy videos, watch a lot of just about everything in that app. Actually, everything in that app is free. The content, you're going to learn. And I love that. I love being able to help people out. And I think that's the big difference in the world. There's so much good information out there to make you smarter. I know a lot of people, you know, when we get older, we were like, yeah, man, these young kids aren't as smart as we were back then, but they are, because there's so much good information.
Yeah, they might be sharper.
They might be sharper, and you have to find that right information. You need to sort it out. So I think, of course, I'm part of the company. I think we do have some really great content there. And I think your listeners and viewers are going to find it educational and beneficial.
Yeah, I think this is a great, you like I told you in the beginning of the podcast, I was glad to have you on, because I think you are one of the sharper sports betting minds out there. And again, just from the way you approach, the way you think about it, this is a great service to the RotoWire podcast feed, to our video stream. We appreciate it. All the links are in the video description below, or certainly in the podcast, the podcast description as well. Again, this podcast is brought to you by WynnBET. Go check them out. We'll be back tomorrow with Mario and John. They'll be in the podcast feed as well. I'm Alan Soslowski for John Alesia, Statsational. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.